You're listening to the Crop Disease Podcast, a podcast that will keep you up to date on how to manage common crop diseases faced by Australian growers. Fungicide resistance. What an annoying problem we have to deal with. I mean, why can't we just spray our crop and those fungal pathogens are controlled every time? Why do those resistant pathogens have to survive and take over so our fungicides don't work anymore? But as much as a pain as it is, at least we've been able to dig a bit deeper and find out the reason behind it all. And with this knowledge comes solutions. Hello, I'm Megan Jones from the Centre for Crop and Disease Management. And in this podcast, we're talking fungicide resistance in southern WA, where the net blotches, that's both spot form and net form, have gone next level. Soon, we'll hear from Pharmanco consultant Brent Pritchard on how his clients have made recent management changes following not-so-good fungicide resistance results. But before we hear from Brent, let me introduce my co-host and CCDM's fungicide resistance expert, Fran Lopez. Hi, Fran. How's it going?
Hi, Megan. How are you? Lovely to be here again.
Well, it's great to have you on the show again. Thanks for that. And every year, I like to get you on the show to talk about fungicide resistance. And I ask you the same question every time. So taking in all of Australian grey-growing regions into account, what was the biggest fungicide resistance issue of the year?
Well, that's actually a very good question because it's been a very quiet season, which isn't bad. The lower disease pressure and less conducive conditions probably gave us a bit of a break. And we didn't actually experience major resistant issues, or at least, you know, we were not actually aware of them. I guess it has been good because we put more time into investigating some existing problems, such as the DMI resistant mechanism in wheat powdery mildew. And as you probably remember, wheat powdery mildew was a big issue, you know, a couple of seasons ago. So the good news is that we now know this mechanism, which means that we can monitor more effectively, in the future.
Well, that's great news. That's a big finding. And I know agronomists will often contact you when they have fungicide failure in the paddock. So did this still happen a bit in the 2023 season, even though disease pressure was fairly low overall?
Oh, yes. We had a few agronomists interested in fungicide performance as usual. Even though the season was not very conducive for disease, we still received hundreds of samples from agronomists throughout their regional plant pathologists. I guess that people want to be on the safe side. So rather than just basically hoping for the best, they want to be prepared. The season might have not been, you know, very conducive, but disease was still there. And we know that if the season is a bit wetter, you know, next year, so we will have more disease. And with disease, so obviously comes, you know, the use of fungicides. And if the fungicides are not working well, so we might run into problems.
Yeah, for sure. And talking about problems in fungicides, in this episode, we're talking about southern WA in particular and all its problems with fungicide-resistant net blotches. Can you tell us how bad the situation is in southern WA?
So we are approaching a situation where virtually every population that we analyze carries resistance to DMIs. The key, however, is the abundance of this resistance in those populations. So it's not the same a population with a 5% individuals resistant than one with 95. In the population with a 5% resistance, nobody will actually notice fungicide failure. While in the population with 95%, we will experience important control issues. So with regards to SDHIs, the most relevant news is that we found resistance in net form net blotch in the Stirling region for the first time. Now, this resistance was at a very low level, but previous experience tell us that if we leave it unchecked, the resistance population will spread very fast. And we don't want that, don't we?
No, we don't want that at all. That's real bad news for this area, isn't it? But speaking of this resistance, I did recently catch up with Brent Pritchard. He's a consultant from Pharmanco based in Albany, WA. Brent sends you quite a few samples, doesn't he?
Yeah, we get actually a lot of samples from Brent, and it's a very interesting interaction because, you know, he's very, very aware of the situation in the field, and that's basically what we lack, right? So we lack intel from the field, and we're very happy to provide, you know, intel from the lab.
Yeah, it's a really good relationship there. Well, it was great to chat to him about our barley disease co-op project, where Brent had the opportunity to send in diseased barley leaf samples from 18 paddocks to CCDM and get them tested for fungicide resistance. Should we listen to how he felt about the results he got from the tests?
Yeah, let's go and hear it.
Okay, great. Let's listen. So I'm now with Brent Pritchard, agronomy consultant from Pharmanco based in Albany. How are you going, Brent?
Yeah, pretty good, Megan. It's been an interesting season.
It sure has, and that's what we're going to be talking about a bit. So how has the season gone for you and your clients?
very different to 2022, been highly variable in that we started off very dry in May and then big rains in June. So well over 150 mil in a couple of days in many places and along the south coast. And that didn't really stop until mid-August. From then on, from August, it really dried out and changed the season again.
So do you think it will be above or below average season for your clients?
Probably we'll be back to long-term averages for most, depending where they are. So some areas will be below, some areas a little bit above, but the waterlogging has taken the shine off the season quite dramatically, and that combined with a very hard, hot finish has dropped yields right back.
So in this podcast, we're talking about fungicide resistance in both spot form and net form net blotch in southern WA, and with a particular focus on how bad the disease levels were in the 2022 season. Can you tell us a bit about the 2022 season?
Yeah, so 2022, we had really fantastic opening early rains, which led to a huge green bridge with Planet barley, self-sowns, and a lot of our rotation is canola, barley, pasture. So disease pressure in general was just immense right from the word go. So even though as a standard we have used uniform in furrow or sestiva seed treatments, the disease pressure was huge as soon as we got to late tillering.
Would you say it's one of the worst disease seasons you've seen in your career?
Yes. Yep. Even beats the last year of Oxford as far as net blotch. But maybe doesn't beat the stripe rust epidemic we had when we first got stripe rust into WA. So, that was pretty amazing.
Very good. Sounds like a very bad year. But in 2022, we actually did receive a lot of samples from you of net blotch, both spot form and net form, from 15 of your farmer clients as part of our barley disease co-op project. And we tested these samples for fungicide resistance and we gave you the results. Can you tell us a bit of a summary of the sort of results you received from your 15 farmers that joined us in the co-op project?
Yeah, so had actually 18 paddocks across those 15 clients, and the leaf area disease that came back was in the 60 to 70% leaf area diseased. And as I said earlier, that 2022, the finish was such that disease was absolutely rampant. Even after most of these paddocks had received three foliar fungicides, probably as a minimum, and also, as I said, had uniform or sestiva up front, so a massive expense on fungicide for that year. We take out the Rosalind out of those samples and just looked at the Planet. The leaf area infection actually, averaged out at above 70%.
Amazing, isn't it?
Which was, quite astronomical. And completely different to the year before, 94% of that disease was net form, net blotch.
Yep.
And only 6% was spot form.
Yep.
Which, the previous season in 2021, it was actually opposite that, which just shows how rapidly net form can build up with a couple of wet seasons in a row in our conditions.
Yep, for sure.
The other interesting one had a few samples from a couple of other varieties, Rosalind being main one, and that only had 23% of net form. So quite marked difference when you think the Planet had 71%.
Yeah, it shows the difference in varieties, doesn't it?
So variety made a huge, huge difference. Resistance-wise, all bar one sample had at least one mutation that indicated some level of resistance detected to the DMIs.
Yeah, and when you say that all but one sample, I think there was six samples per farm, so that's a lot of samples, and only one didn't have resistance.
Yes, yep, and all bar six, I think, had more than 50% of the isolates from each sample showing a mutation for resistance. So the population of disease that was there, 50% of it was showing mutations.
How did you feel when you got those results?
Really felt like an emu and put my head in the sand to start with. But had a good inkling that we were going to be pretty bad, but didn't think we were going to be so significant. The previous years, yeah, had quite a number of samples come back with zero resistance mutations, but probably not unexpected if we're going to use 4 or 5 applications of fungicide in a season, that really what's left at the end of the year basically has to have some level of resistance if we've got it. Yeah, it certainly really came home that we have to change what we're doing, otherwise we're going to have very ineffective fungicides very rapidly.
Have you seen some changes in management practices since these results came out?
The biggest one was change in variety. So as I said, we've probably gone from 80% planet on the south coast to maybe 10% planet. So that susceptibility of that variety, probably not so much from a fungicide resistance factor, but just a yield potential factor. Farmers just didn't want to grow that again and take on that risk of not being able to control the disease. And I suppose the benefit of that is that we've ended up with some varieties now that have some plant-based resistance.
And what can growers do to better manage disease going into 2024 season?
Rotation, 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 which is hard to swing out of something that we've probably been doing for 20 years, pasture canola barley rotation or canola barley, canola barley. And we've got to start looking at some other options. The other thing we need to then do is better pasture grazing management. So even though we can practice deferred grazing, is don't let those self-sown barley pastures get into stem elongation where the disease can really crank up. The other thing is, yeah, we really need to get around and tolerate potentially some disease at the end of the season and throughout the season. We're not in the case of producing an unblemished fruit that we get from the supermarkets. We're grain growers and we need to be able to say, well, okay, we can tolerate, you know, 10% leaf area infection. That's not going to give us an impact to our profit and our yields. And the new varieties like Maximus, Laperouse and hopefully Neo coming through, and from hearing from the breeders, even a couple more post-Neo that are going to have better genetics as far as net blotch goes. And that'll allow us to really roll back our fungicide use. And every shot we save is a shot that we can keep up our sleeve for when we really need it, rather than really pushing the disease into that high resistance levels.
Brilliant, Brent. That sounds like great advice and some great tips there. Well, that will be all my questions for today. So thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
No worries, Megan. It was great to chat.
Yeah, great to chat. And hopefully everything goes well for 2024. And hopefully we'll get you on the show again sometime soon.
Would love it. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Brent. Bye. So just to recap on those messages from Brent for managing disease in 2024, he says expanding the rotation, improving pasture grazing management, using resistant varieties, and learning to tolerate some disease on the crop as this won't affect yield. Fran, about that last one in particular, it's a good one, isn't it? I mean, growers don't need 100% clean crop. A little bit of infection is okay, particularly at the end of the season, right? Particularly if we want to keep fungicide resistance under control.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And to be honest with you, it is impossible to achieve, you know, a complete control. Diseases cannot be eradicated. That's one of the main IDM principles, right? So we manage diseases, we don't eradicate them, just because we cannot, right? So it's actually best, you know, avoiding resistance by limiting the use of fungicides as much as we can. So incorporating all the disease management tools are actually going to help us, you know, just achieving this goal. And we've got plenty of tools available for this, right? So I think that, yeah, we have to change a little bit our mindset and just start thinking, you know, about, you know, just having a little bit of disease in the paddock is not that bad. So it's about, you know, managing it at the right time and with the right tools.
Yeah, for sure. And also, it was interesting how most of Brent's samples he sent to CCDM had more than 50% of the pathogen population confirmed as fungicide resistant to DMIs. Were you surprised that the results were so high, especially since the year before many samples he received were 0% resistant?
Yeah, I will lie if I said, you know, that it wasn't surprised. I was really surprised. I guess that there are two elements to take into account when explaining these results. First, well, we've got the selection of resistance, right? And this can happen very quickly when the conditions for these are ideal, right? And by ideal, I mean the use of susceptible or very susceptible varieties, short or no rotations, the continuous use of the same fungicides. But the most important to me is this is conduciveness. So these seasons have been really conducive. A few seasons have been very conducive to disease, and this has really helped, you know, disease development. So the more disease, the more control. The more control, the more selection. And the more selection, obviously, you know, the faster resistance actually develops and spread. So that's number one to me. We also have to take into account that there are particular prototypes that are better adapted to particular varieties. And we've seen this with multiple varieties in multiple pathosystems, right? And with Planet, it's something that probably actually has happened. So we've got pathotypes of the pathogen that actually has adapted, you know, better to this Planet variety. So it's not only the selection by fungicides anymore. It's also the selection, you know, the conjunction selection of fungicides and varieties at the same time. So the second reason why this could have happened is that as a result of this project, so our analysis tools have improved. And actually, you know, this improvement has been dramatically big in some cases, right? So we've been able to generate more accurate information just because, you know, our tools are better now. So we are aware of more mutations. And now that we are aware of more mutations, actually, you know, these mutations contribute to that, you know, to that 50%. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, it is possible that in previous analysis, we didn't have a zero. So probably it was closer, you know, probably something more realistic would be a 10, 15%. But we don't be able to detect that because, you know, we weren't aware of mutations that now we are because of the analysis that we have done as part of this project with the growers and the agronomists in the valley regions in Western Australia.
Yeah, it's such great news to hear that the analysis tools are getting so much better. Such great news for growers, I think. And I know we are wrapping up CCDM's Barley Disease Co-op project, which over the past 4 years has seen hundreds of growers send in barley samples for fungicide resistance testing. How do you feel about the project winding up and what's next for you in this space?
Yeah, well, I guess it's always sad, you know, when a project is finishing. I wouldn't lie to you either, you know, in this one, you know, it's been quite challenging, you know, given the number of samples that we had to process and also, you know, the technical difficulties that we had, you know, because of the complexity of this pathogen. So multiple new mutations were found throughout this process and we had to adapt our methods, you know, just to address those new mutations. So I believe that in general terms, the project managed to produce an important amount of data, right? And was useful not only to inform management decisions, but also to improve research processes back in the lab, as I was saying, you know, earlier. So the data generated has also been incorporated into the updated version of the fungicide resistance management guide that will be available probably before the end of the year.
And I hear you have a new project coming up. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, so we were using the learnings from the Barley Cohort project just to develop a new approach to this, right? And the idea is to monitor in a bit of a smarter way, in the sense that we're going to be collecting spores using spore trapping devices and analyzing that those samples using the methodologies that we have developed in the lab as a result of the interaction with the industry during the Barley Cohort project. So I'm very looking forward to starting this project and you know, generating information that can be used by the industry.
And just confirming, that's Australia-wide project?
Well, we're going to start with a couple of states. So we're going to have a presence in Western Australia because we're here, we're playing home. And then we're still deciding what's going to be, you know, the other state. There will be two states at this stage.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. Anyway, friend, what a great project to kick off on, I think. Anyway, we better wrap up this podcast now. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Megan, for your time. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this.
Not a problem at all. It's great to have you again, Fran. But before we finish, I just want to do a quick shout out about the Crop Protection Forum. It's in Adelaide this year on the 6th of December, which Fran will be presenting at. And if you haven't got tickets yet, it's not too late. I'll leave all the details in the episode description. So if you have a disease topic that you'd like us to cover, then let us know. You can follow and let us know on Twitter at the CCDM. You can also sign up to our blog and get more information just like this at ccdm.com.au. And if you like this podcast, why not tell your mate or colleague about it? Go on. Well, that's all for now. You'll hear from us next month for more crop disease discussions. See you then. This podcast is brought to you by the Centre for Crop and Disease Management, a national centre co-supported by Curtin University and the Brains Research and Development Corporation.